Hello, everyone, and we welcome you into our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. Today is Sunday, February 9th, 2020. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, and we're so glad you could join us today. We will start with our morning prayer.
Statement by Mrs. Eddy on page 224 of the Blue Book. Oh, may the light that is never dim so encompass you that no night is there. May his angels hold thee in their power, and songs of science be heard in the intuitions of thought, till your life is in tune with the rhythm of God.
Thank you. And our watching point for the week.
Watch number 461. Watch lest you accept the suggestion that there is an impersonal power apart from God operating personally that can thwart the mighty action of good. It is such an abnormal and impossible claim. It is such an insult to God that we should find it easy to deny and silence it. In the early days of science, this claim manifested itself in the malpractice of renegade students attempting to thwart the work of Mrs. Eddy and her students. Later, she directed her students to meet this claim impersonally, stating that the time had passed in which to handle it personally. Once she said, quote, "Handle the thought of reversal. You can do it. Is there a devil that can reverse God's government? No." End quote.
Thank you. Okay, comments on that?
No, there is no government that can reverse God's government. There is no devil that can reverse God's government. No. Yeah.
But isn't that what we see so often in, like we see in organizations that start out well and then someone tries to control, make rules to protect people from their own selves. They personalize the evil. So they make a rule or a regulation so that people can't do what they thought got them into the trouble. I mean, it just ends up being one mess after the next. When you personalize anything, personalize good or personalize error, and personalizing evil, I mean, we do it unconsciously. It comes so naturally, right? You get angry at somebody for doing something. Well, wait a minute. What's that all about? Never let the sun set on your anger.
Well, and I think early on, before Mrs. Eddy discovered this truth, you know, they would work. There were all these people working against her, and she would mention names. And that is personalizing the error, and that's why she is saying not to do that. Error is neither person, place, nor thing. And in personalizing it or saying, you know, so-and-so did me wrong, so-and-so needs to be punished or whatever, you are giving it a life, a voice that it won't have if you depersonalize it or unpersonalize it.
What's the impersonalize.
Impersonalize. I go through all that. Anyway, impersonalize. So if someone has done you wrong, or so it would seem, you realize that it is animal magnetism, which is a belief in a power apart from God, and that Mrs. Eddy says in loving your neighbor as yourself, or excuse me, loving your enemies, that article, loving your enemies, she says when you impersonalize it, God will take care of it. If something seems to have done you wrong, so to speak, God's law of justice, you can know this, God's law of divine justice is in full and complete operation. And we also say the wicked shall not go unpunished. But we don't have to name the wicked. The wicked is just error. And it will go punished. It will be punished because error will punish itself. But that's impersonalizing it. And it has to be done. Otherwise, you're making it into a big bugaboo and it will trip you up. Does anyone have any questions on that?
Well, and that's why Mrs. Eddy says the design of love is to reform the sinner. And that's why the sinner is punished. It's that simple. And sin punishes itself.
Sin will punish itself. And so, you know, this is true in our watches and everything that we do. We keep it as impersonal as possible and know that God is working. And yes, error will destroy itself. And we just need to know this.
I think it's so important to be aware to do that across the board. And, you know, it's difficult sometimes. You just want to so make it personal. It's, you know, to separate the lie from the someone, an individual, I should say, is very difficult. But if we don't do that, well, then you've given it life, so it lives.
Yes. Now, sometime in our watches, you know, we've had that watch we've worked for a long time that Mrs. Evans gave us about, because God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, there is no such thing as animal magnetism calling itself. Now, you see, that impersonalizes it. But then we list what animal magnetism might be calling itself. And we will say communism, Romanism, I mean, what you fill in the blanks, terrorism, other so-called forms of error. But we impersonalize it by that preface. There's no such thing as animal magnetism. There's no such thing as a power apart from God calling itself, wearing this mask. And once you do that, that's the beauty of that watch. Then you can fill in the blanks.
That was something that helped me a long time ago. We were taught that it's error using this person. It's animal magnetism using this person. It's not their idea to act stupidly or
yes.
or whatever, but it's animal magnetism using them. So
yes.
You can kind of pity them and help them out of it mentally if you can. And
thank you.
If they're willing.
It's wearing a mask. The animal magnetism is wearing a mask. And if you see that, it helps you. And then if you learn, read that article, Loving Your Enemy, because it will teach you. Mrs. Eddy had to learn this very important lesson. She couldn't go around hating all the people that were saying terrible things about her and trying to destroy the truths that she knew were true. She couldn't hate them. If she did hate them, it would have killed her. So
sure.
She learned. Go ahead.
Going back to the earlier point, the Wednesday testimony meetings so often are involve recounts where the person healed another person by looking not at the individual, but rather the evil behind the person's actions. And we hear that time and time again on the Wednesday testimonies.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. This is a real scientific treatment. It's different from any other treatment, Christian prayer and treatment. And then I thought this was beautiful. It was an article in our most recent Liberator, Love is a Liberator. It was by Eaglet. And she speaks about, she says, many years ago at a Bible seminar taught by a Christian Scientist, I heard the speaker say, the prayer that ascends up to heaven is one that has no earthly weight. Now, and then she goes on, because she was praying for this little duckling or something. But anyway, she says, she used that, the prayer that ascends up into heaven has no earthly weight. And in reference to this little duckling that was seemed to be dying, She says, I needed to just let go and trust God all the way. It was the final step I needed to take in my prayers. So I let go entirely of any desire to help humanity and trusted God all the way to care for his creation. After all, God is all, and disease, etc., has no cause, no history, no power, and no ability to attach itself either to life or to my thought. All these false claims ask is to be believed. Time to let go entirely of the belief that something outside of God's power and allness could have existence or have happened. Time to throw thought entirely on the right side and adjust the balance to the side of God. And so I let go entirely. And then she says the next day she sees that little duckling with all the other ones. She couldn't tell one from the other, but she knew because she counted them all that he was amongst them, because she had impersonalized her prayer and wasn't telling God what to do, but was letting God work. And you see, it's so easy. You can pray for something you want, even some healing you want, or that house across the street that you want, or, you know, you want to marry Justin Bieber, or I don't know what you might want. But that is a personalized prayer, and it has earthly weights. So how can it ascend the scales of being, the scales of heaven? You have to let it all go and spiritualize your prayer and let, you know, if you want that house across the street, well, you say, dear Father, you know, that's a beautiful house. It would be great, but thy will be done. And all I want is to know and love you more. And what will ever bring me closer to you is truly what I want. I don't want anything outside of your will. And if you want to marry Justin Bieber, then what do you do, Florence? Florence told me something very beautiful this week.
Really, what you want to marry is the qualities of God. And I mean, I'm so moved by some things that I've been feeling lately, like really what we can love these qualities more than any person. Qualities like integrity, truthfulness, trustworthiness. I mean, when I say the words, I just feel something. I'm amazed by this. But again, as he says, everything we want is in God. So that's why we seek him first, love him most, and the rest is the other things that we get.
The things that shall be added unto you, all these things shall be added unto you.
That's beautiful. And by doing that, you love people even more than you ever could have loved them before. In fact, somewhere, I think it's Mrs. Eddy says, Christian Scientists love people more because they love God the most. Or something like that. That's a paraphrase.
And I read something in the Blue Book yesterday. It said that the true sense of love is to love God good, then we love all, for God is all. That love is unlimited and flows out freely to all, and all feel it. The human sense of love narrows itself down to a concept or a person and shuts out others. That is not love. Really, we do not love person. It is the good we love. This true sense of love brings freedom and an enlarged sense of things. And that's a reference to Miscellaneous Writings 3:12, line 1. That described what we're loving, really.
That is just beautiful, and that is the truth. And in that loving, you can never feel alone. You always have God with you and all his qualities being expressed, if you're expressing them. So you can never feel alone or lonely. It's God's presence and power with you. So instead of praying that you marry Justin Bieber, you pray for it's the marriage of life, truth, and love, that you have this close connection with the Father, or for any type of relationship you might want. And when you get that, and you get that security and sense of God's presence and power, then if it's right for you to meet someone or have a friend or anybody in your life, it will come. But if you're desperately looking for it and thinking you got to be there or here or anywhere and be with them, and that this is this and that, and all this human will comes in, well, people run like you know what, because they don't want to be with such an insecure person. It can be very annoying. So have your relationship with God first, and then if he brings others into your life, whomever they might be, they will be a great blessing, and you will be a blessing. And this goes on. I mentioned the house or person, but it can go on to all kinds of things. A job, a school you want to go to, anything that you think you want. Impersonalize it. Drop the earth weights and say, Father, whatever you would have for me, your will be done. I am your obedient servant, and I know it will be the best. It will be the best. And you can rest and feel secure in that, because it will be. I 100% guarantee it to be true.
I think isn't that the same thing that the testimony where this lady had gone all over the place with this tumor and finally ended up in New York in a practitioner's office. And that's where she said, I really don't care. I found the truth. And that's all that matters to me. I don't care if this is healed or not. And that's when she was healed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's in Kate Buck's article, Slow Healing. Mm-hmm. Because always you seek God first, and all these things shall be added unto you, as Christ Jesus said. So These are important life lessons. And if you can just they always say, let go and let God. If you can get where you can do that and give up this fear and sense of control, and you got to know what's going on and who's this and this and where you're going to be and what's going to happen, well, then you're like a little bundle of nerves forever. And that's not God's plan. So he'll direct your path.
Well, I think that in this society we have this that we got to do something. Yes, we pray to God, but let me do this because maybe God expects me to do some work about it, not just sit and wait. It's very geared to goal setting. Or I'm going to accomplish this. And this starts very early, even as kids in school. They have, you know, their goals. They want to accomplish this and that. And it's always like, it's that sense that I have to do something. I just cannot. Yeah, let me help God. So to speak.
Well, that is very true. And sometimes, yes, we are required to do things. And that's maybe the tricky part, because just to sit in your prayer chair, as we've talked about, that's not always it either. But once you get a relationship with the Father, you'll feel a nudge, or you'll feel something come to you to do. You can't just wave this magic wand and expect everything to happen. So it is the right balance. But that's a very good point. Thank you, Pilar. You definitely required. If you want to get into a school, you have to apply. You can't just sit in your chair and say, well, everything will be great. And you've got to do the best you can. But I guess the point being, if you keep turning it to God day by day, Father, what would you have me do? He will make your path plain. The Bible promises that.
And the key here is your own state of thought. In other words, you can't just fly off the handle and be willful about doing things. What you do, you should feel as though you're being sent. Uh-huh. You should feel that God is directing you. And that is why you always have to be in a prayerful state of thought first to receive the direction from God. Because if you're receiving direction from somewhere else other than God, it's not going to have a happy ending.
Yeah, Parthens wrote a beautiful article on being sent. It's on our website. Did you want to say something, Shorty?
Yeah, I love what Mrs. Eddy did, and we're taught from the carpenters that she would pray and then she'd go forward. But if she found out it wasn't right, she'd do a 180.
Yeah, thank you.
And she wasn't afraid to do it.
Yes, that's the humility. You take the best step at the time and then just go forward, and God opens the way. But this is a daily working it out. You know, you can't plan your whole life ahead. What is God telling you to do today? And sometimes different things come up, things maybe you don't even expect will come up. And then you'll be at the right place at the right time, talking to the right person. Only God could have done that.
Always be willing to do what he wants you to do.
Always willing to do that, yes. Thank you. So our lesson subject today is spirit. Golden text, Job. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now, I was astounded because when I read this lesson, it just goes, and Florence wrote this, thank you. Anyway, there are so many things that Spirit does for us. And this is the first one. It gives us life, with a capital L. So that means your parents didn't give you life. Gives you life. And it might seem like your parents have given you life, and maybe they have been an instrument in what seems to be that, but ultimately it is always God that gives you life. And it goes on about, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I go from thy presence? Hey, you can never get away from God, spirit. You can make your bed in hell, but he's there. Don't forget. All you have to do is cry out to him. You can't get away from spirit. And then to know that you dwell in him. And dwelling means making your home to dwell. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 is your dwelling place. Make sure your home is a dwelling place for God. Make sure your body is a dwelling place for God. We're told your body is the temple of the living God. So do you care for it? Are you respectful of it and do the best you can to, you know, have normal, right activity? You don't either overeat or undereat or over-exercise or under-exercise or whatever. You just, again, this is following the Father to keep it. I always think of Christ Jesus. I mean, he walked and walked. He must have walked, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 miles a day. Sometimes we figure out how far he walked. But he kept active. He ate reasonably. It's a dwelling place, the temple of the living God. Respect it. And abusing it is, you know, trashing it, junk food, drugs, cigarettes, other ways that you abuse the temple of the living God.
Not thinking right thoughts about it, negative thinking.
Negative thinking, malpracticing on it, worrying about it, studying it, you know, endless
thinking thoughts. Thought of it.
What's it? Yeah,
making a God of it.
And a God out of it, instead of the one God. And basically, the less you think of it, the better. And remember, too, it is spirit. It is spiritual. You don't have two bodies, a material one we're going to trash and a spiritual one that maybe we get glimpses of. There's the one body. Your body is the embodiment of right thinking. Therefore, yes, as Linda said, that you think the right thoughts about it. Keep it working properly.
I love what you said recently about God being your personal trainer.
Oh, right.
It's like the other day, you can't fire him. You can't. He's going to
deal with it.
He is. And you can say, not listening. But
No, he's a jealous God. He doesn't want anybody else in there.
Yeah.
It's his job.
And then, so we dwell in him, and then he makes you free from the law of sin and death. How great is that? Spirit, the law of spirit, the law of life of Christ Jesus, the law of all the human theories. Well, that's going to cook you. Not in a nice way. And then to be carnally minded is death. Yep. And then, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the carnal mind, what is the carnal mind? Jealousy, lust, depression, hatred, all of the negative things. If you think those thoughts, you will be miserable. Period. Nothing we can do about it until you stop. It's a penalty. Got to get out of that. Start thinking the thoughts of peace and love, joy. And then the one I spoke to on Wednesday night, which is my all-time favorite. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That same spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus, that healed all those people, that raised him from the dead, that same spirit dwells within you. If you pay attention to it, and it is a spirit of God, but you can't just shove it aside or not listen to it because you're so depressed over all your troubles. You got to tune in. What did they used to say in Sunday school? You tune in to channel G-O-D. Station G-O-D. And then it was very sweet because, well, I looked up that word quicken, as I said, to make alive. So you're feeling dead and depressed. The Spirit of God will make you feel alive. It's going to revive you. It'll bring you out of that bed of sickness and sorrow. And then to cheer and to refresh by new supplies of comfort and grace. New supplies every day of comfort and grace. That's what that spirit is doing for you. And then it was very sweet. Our friend Frank in Canada, he sent me, because he's German, and he was pondering about the word quicken. And he said one translation is, now listen to this.
The German.
Yes, the German translation. Beflügen. How is that, Ute? I practiced. Beflügen. Okay, I don't know if I pronounced it right, but he said the B part is the change of the state or condition. And then the Flügen part means on wings. And he thought that was so beautiful, and it is beautiful. Your condition, whatever it is, how miserable you are, your body is sick, your mind is sad, whatever it is, the spirit can change that condition with wings, fly you up above it. So, is Uta trying to say something? Wait a minute, Uta.
Verfliegen.
Oh, say it again.
Verfliegen.
Okay, thank you. We have a bona fide German. German was actually in Hamburg.
Flying away.
Thank you.
Having wings and flying away.
Thank you.
Bert.
Welcome.
Okay. So that is wonderful. And then it just goes on and on. And for many as that are led by the Spirit of God, who are you if you're led by the Spirit of God?
Son of God.
You're the sons of God. And children of God. And then if you're sons and children of God, then what are you?
Brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Heirs.
Yes.
You inherit all that God. Yeah. You have the right to all that God is. What a privilege.
I remember when I first came here, one of the first few lessons had that on it, and I just thought it's going to be a while till I can really think that about myself.
Well, and that's why, you know, I love to tell people they are the son of the king with a capital K, or the daughter of the king, because that's who you are. And as that story we were told years ago about the little boy who was the son of an actual king, and then the gypsies took him away, and he didn't know his divine inheritance, and he lived a sad and terrible life. But then the king's men came and found him, and he was restored to the kingdom. And he was the heir of the king, and all good was his by divine right. So it is with us. We are born daughters and sons of the king, and yet mortal mind thinks, tells us we're just a bunch of garbage. Born into sin, we're going to die out of it.
And that's the gypsy that tries to tell you the lie, that you're not the heir of God. It's mortal beliefs. That's what enslaves us, if we buy it.
Yes. And so, yes, heirs, that means your inheritance. Don't accept any inheritance because, you know, you think your mother or father or grandparents or whatever had some problem. You're going to have it. That denies the fact that God has given you life. That's why we always go back to God is the creator of all everybody, including your parents and grandparents and you and everybody, your ancestries, the beautiful, the good, and the pure, Mrs. Eddy says. And so then it goes really to what Will says, that we're all brothers and sisters. And that goes into the fellowship of us all. And Joanne wrote about that on the forum, the fellowship she feels with all of us here. And it's true. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a camaraderie. We're a family. And then, of course, for the Spirit of the Lord is what?
There is liberty.
Liberty.
Liberty. Yay.
Freedom. Freedom.
Yay. Nothing's worse than having our freedom. That's why our country, that's why everyone wants to move here. We got freedom, and maybe we aren't a perfect people, and maybe we didn't do everything perfect, but we
have the right ideal that we aspire to.
Yes.
And that's why the revolution that created the United States of America was the only genuine revolution that's ever occurred in the world. Because it's the first creation of a government that is designed around this spiritual fact, this truth. That it's based on, first, the Spirit of the Lord. And that is the basis of our government. That is why it has prospered. That's why it has succeeded for so many years. And if we ever lose that, we lose everything.
And as we've been taught here, we know that Mrs. Eddy, the reason she was able to discover and be the...
And found the church, the founder, to establish the science as a legitimate organization and to bring it to fruition in was because the government of the United States allowed it. She wouldn't have been able to do it anywhere else in the world. It would have been too challenging and too threatening to the establishment.
And as we know, Christian Science really is not a religion, so-called. It is the laws and the rules of the universe. And that frees it up, too, because anyone, anywhere can, and they do. There are many people who don't even know anything about Christian Science, but they're in their obedience to the Sermon on the Mount, the Ten Commandments, the biblical principles, they find great freedom and joy in life.
That's That's one thing I love about the impersonal, how we're taught to pray and watch impersonally here, is that we are not telling anyone personally that they're going to hell. We're telling them you're in hell, but you can,
and
you
this
can
is be the way out of that. So,
how wonderful is that?
Yes.
Nobody else does that.
That's very true. It's such freedom. Wow. We must thank God every day for it and do all that we can to preserve it and to preserve our Christ Christianity in this country, which is under attack. And Parthens wrote beautifully about we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There we are again, Florence. She just kept turning us back to the Spirit everywhere. So we become the image of God as we model that. And maybe I'll have...
And what does it mean to have an open face?
You can read with me.
Well, Parthens says that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In context, to behold is to be and to hold. Holding my spiritual gaze upon the one beside whom there is none else, my first love, in a state of continual present tense beingness. This keeping or holding attention has nothing to do with bemused, distracted, material ecstasy, but it has everything to do with holding up to the word of promise, jealously attentive to it, keeping myself in a jealously attentive to it, keeping myself in a word-enriched, thoughtful, watchful state of heightened awareness of the one of whom I am image and likeness. The mindset and the stillness of a soldier standing at attention. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word, end quote. This also means keeping myself in a state of stern resolve to keep pace with highest purpose. And quote, we all with open face beholding are changed into that which we behold. With open face means discarding the veil of mortal mindedness, being open to receive heavenly instruction, open to change, yielded to spirit as clay is to the potter.
It's beautiful. And so what is your model? Are you an open face to receive, to become the image and likeness of God? And that's who we should, we should want to reflect. And then it was brought out also beautifully in Science and Health about Florence and Suzanne wrote to it. Man is the idea of spirit. He reflects the beatific presence, illuming the universe with light. Are you doing that? Are you illumining the universe with light? That's what we are when we are God's reflection. Did you want to say anything to that, Florence?
No, not more. No.
No. Okay. Well, yes. Just think of that. It is a beautiful thought that that's what we all are to do. And if you're not illuminating the universe with light, if you're not illuminating the universe with your joy, with your friendliness, with your kindness, with your peace, then you're not going to be happy because you're not doing what you were created to do. You got to switch gears, get into being and doing what you were created to do.
Open your face.
Open your face. Yes.
Well, think about it. I mean, you know, you've got to be a clear transparency. You've got to see things correctly. You've got to have a humble heart. And that way, your spiritual sense works. Because it's your spiritual sense that receives everything that there is to receive from God. Because if you close up your heart, if you close up your face, your spiritual sense doesn't work. You get stuck on the material sense, and you've closed the door. Open the door. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think what we are beholding should mean so much to us that we commit to doing it. I think that's the sense I get from it.
Thank you very much. Yes. He quotes Mrs. Eddy, that stern resolve. You have to be stern with yourself. You can't be drifting here and there and, okay, I'll behold the image and think about spirit for a while, but, you know, for the rest of the day, I'm going to be miserable. You've got to have a stern resolve. Be strict with yourself.
I like that idea of a soldier at attention, too. Like you just waited for your...
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's in contrast to being open-minded, where you're willing to listen to anything and anybody, give them the benefit of the doubt. That's the human mind in full bloom.
You can get very mixed up.
Which leads you to nowhere.
And then I love what Linda wrote, Science and Health, emerge gently from matter into spirit. Think not to thwart the spiritual ultimate of all things, but come naturally into spirit through better health and morals and as the result of spiritual growth. Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health. So that word emerge, I never knew that definition. Go ahead.
I love the definition. To rise out of, that is emerging from the deep, to reappear after being eclipsed, to rise out of a state of depression or obscurity, to rise into view as to emerge from poverty or obscurity, to emerge from the gloom of despondency.
That's beautiful. Emerge from all, to come out. Again, that's that word that Frank gave us, Leflugen or whatever. I don't say it like that. But yeah, to escape, to come out of that condition of thought. And that is not your original condition. Your original condition is one of joy and perfection. That's why Christ Jesus said we have to become as little children before we can enter the kingdom of heaven. You think of a little child, how happy and free and innocent they are. That's what we have to imbibe in us. Not to be childish, but childlike. And that... And so then when you get into all of this troubles, God gives you the capacity to emerge, and we can emerge gently day by day, little by little, you come out of it. Was there anything more, Linda?
No, just what you said, that it's the daily changing. That I think in the Boston model, it seemed like you would sit in your prayer chair and say all these absolutes, and it's like you're trying to thwart it, and you're not even... But I love that the most beautiful thing to me that I've gotten here, I think of it as like a child who's learning to, they roll over, then they rock on their hands and knees, and then they might crawl and they sit up, and it's like little steps and they build, and every step builds on the other. And it was so wonderful to come here, and it was okay to feel like you're starting over in some sense, because it felt so strengthening and made so much sense to take us precept upon precept. And
yes,
it's so amazing.
And you know, when you think of a little child when they're learning to walk, I think it would be interesting to count how many times they fall before they learn. countless times. And we have this little video of Abby when she was learning how to stand. And she just, well, she would stand up and she would just shriek with joy. She was just, wow! She was so happy she was standing. And then she'd flop down and then she'd do it again. And she'd do it again and she'd do it again. Now, how many times do we feel we flop and we fail? Do we get up like that? No, 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 no. Anybody was watching us. Heaven forbid, you know, this is a big shame. It's just horrible. Oh my gosh, I didn't do what I should. I wasn't as good and I wasn't good enough. Everybody was better than me. Look at me. I'm adopt that. as a little child, get up again, and then 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 get up again. And guess what? You'll learn to walk, or you'll learn to do whatever it was you thought you couldn't do. You will emerge. You will be flugen and flagen. You will find wings. You will find wings that will rise you up out of any condition. I don't care what it is or what they've told you or what the doctors have said or what anybody has told you, what authority has told you. Bourgeois, Mrs. Evans loved to say, rather than the other word that I do occasionally use, which I know I shouldn't. But anyway, so Carol, you read Bible, citation 6, please.
And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them.
Okay, 7.
And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them.
So guess what? Is there anything in there that's not listed? Do you have any of those troubles? My point being, they're all healable. Again, it doesn't matter what the doctors say, the hospitals say. I mean, what if you told a little child, oops, you fell down, you're never getting up again. That's it, buddy. That's it. You're going to have to crawl the rest of your life. Of course not. God never said that. So all of these things, when I was listening to the audio of this lesson this week, and I heard all of these things, and he healed them, and he healed them. I said, this is wonderful. And this is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So think of this. I think this lesson is, what is it, like the prism of Spirit, all the facets, the beautiful colors of Spirit, what it does. And this is just the one synonym of God. All those things it'll do for you. But how much do you love it, and how much do you listen to it and are grateful for it?
And live in it.
If we live in the Spirit, isn't that a song that our quartet sings? If we live in the Spirit. So now, and I can go on with all the Spirit. Our identity is the reflection of Spirit. Here we go. Identity. And also, Spirit gives us you everlasting life. You're not going to die. It's impossible. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. All these wonderful things that the Spirit does. So we are going to end on something that Melissa, this is Melissa. Now we have a Melissa in Connecticut, and we have a Melissa in Australia. The Melissa in Australia sent me the PDF for the most recent banner. And the banner is Andrew Hartsook, a newsletter for Christian Scientists. He updates us on what's going on in the Christian Science movement, or what isn't going on. Anyway, this one, oh my, he should be given some kind of a badge of courage or something, because he has over, I don't know how many years he's done this, reported on what's going on.
33.
Wow. Well, anyone who wants the PDF of this, I can send it to you. I already did send it to some people. He's telling you the atrocities that went on, and also he's offering solutions. We worked through it when they tried to excommunicate us, they did excommunicate us and all that they did. And we've come out on the other side, and it's wonderful, and we're happy as can be. But there were things that were committed that would have, well, he said he put Mrs. Eddy's 88th manual into shambles. So it's a good thing to read. It's a good thing to know, because we need to know our history so we know what's what and who's who. But at the end of this, he quotes, and it's just beautiful. I'll have Gary read it. "The cornerstone of Christian Science, perfect God and perfect man," an excerpt from an address at the 1933 Chicago World's Fair by Peter V. Ross. And he talks about the effect of prayer.
"The sublimest and most effective prayer is this: Father, give me the glory I had with thee before the world was. Break this mesmerism that envelops me. Ask for the return to heaven and freedom which you had at one time and which you will have again. Every time you voice the truth, you are breaking this mesmerism and stepping out into the power of endless life. Refuse to argue anymore for sickness, lack, death, trouble, danger, pain, discouragement, weariness, etc., but for the fact that life is God, health, strength, harmony, endurance, safety, ageless, deathless being. Pour these truths into your consciousness daily and hourly. They will heal you. Develop your capacity to be a success. Clarify your vision, and you will walk this earth a free man, dignified, unafraid, confident, and fearless."
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.